This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
There's a reason why you should never work with animals, children, or siblings. Murphy's Law Radio Show, only on Joy 94.9.
James Blunt, welcome to Joy.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, God.
2004 was a great year for music, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Some people talk about the 60s, but for me, I think, yeah.
Amazing.
2004 will never be beaten.
That was incredible. Look, and having dissected your world, Wikipedia, a lot of it over the last 24 hours, I didn't know you were in the British Army prior to this.
It's very dangerous getting the sources of information from Wikipedia.
Well, it's very dangerous.
I actually do go on my own Wikipedia page and change it.
Yeah, right. Do
you?
Honestly, I normally go on and change how old I am on there. And my mother changes it back. She's really mean of her.
So you went from the British Army. You were there for like 8 years, was it?
Six years in the Army, and then my last job in the Army was I was actually the Queen's ceremonial bodyguard.
Wow.
Based in London, and what that allowed me to do was gigs in London in little bars and clubs, and find my way into music business.
So going from the Army to the world of music, do you feel like the Army prepared you for like dodgy sort of record company people? And
completely. Actually, well, what it really did prepare me for was touring.
Yeah.
You know, I used to travel the world in a tank with a team of soldiers. You know, there were 5 tanks and a bunch of us, and we'd go and, you know, do whatever we were sent to go and do. Nowadays, I tour the world. I go to slightly safer places, but I'm reliant on my team, and we work very closely with my band and my crew. Go to, as I say, safer and nicer places as a result, and my tour bus is just a slightly more comfortable version of a tank.
Well, that whole time, 2004-2005, Back to Bedlam was for you. Like, I mean, it must have just... What did it do your head in because of the extreme amount of fame that came with it?
I think, yes, I think is the answer, in that it's weird the way the world changes around you, and I expected, you know, I would hope to get into the charts in some way, but I never expected to do what it did.
Yeah.
And it definitely affected, you know, people don't stop and say hello to you anymore. Everyone's just asking you for a picture in such a level, and the papers want to know about your private life. And the world changes rather than you. And also what I suppose I did is I wrote that really open album.
Yeah.
And then after that, I never wanted to write quite so openly because you realise people are going to look into your private life in such a way. So I've definitely held back in subsequent albums. Up until now. Up until this one.
So your latest album came out, it's last October, called Once Upon a Mind. It's brilliant. We've been listening to it, but it is very raw.
Yeah,
so
totally.
You've gone back to...
I have, and you know, I love my previous albums, but just some things, it's very much about being in the, you know, I was very much in the music business, putting out albums, going out on tours, loving the job and working with some amazing people, and the inspiration of working with, you know, the likes of Ed Sheeran or Ryan Tedder from One Republic was fantastic.
Oh, he's just name-dropping now, isn't he?
Look at him go.
But then on this album, some things have happened at home. My dad's not been very well. I got married. I've got a young family, and I don't have much time necessarily with my father, and I also realised I don't have much time with my children because I go on tour for 18 months at a time, and so I really needed to write songs for them. And instead of being in the music business now, I find with this album I'm just back in the music.
Yeah, which is great.
Yes.
And it sounds like it too. It sounds like the track I wanted to talk to you about, because not understanding it, I jumped on social media the other day and it came on Monsters.
Yep.
And like I looked at the video and I'm thinking, where's he going with this? And then all of a sudden, I lost it because you started crying. I started crying. I'm like, this is the most emotional thing I've viewed for a long time.
James, I'm actually like convinced that you just want to destroy us all. I was absolutely in bits. It is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen, and I'm very interested. How did you get through filming that with your dad?
Yeah, I mean, it was really, for me, I think the greatest pleasure I had is writing this song and it being able to express some things to him that I wouldn't have said in normal everyday chat. I'm ex-army, he's ex-army, we're British,
so you're very
we're male, we say, all right, dad, how are you? And through a song, I've managed to say to him that he's much more than just a father to me, but he is a friend and I love him dearly.
Yeah.
And I'm thrilled for that opportunity. And then I got the chance of making a video and I said, well, I really want my father
did you say this is how I want the video to be?
Exactly.
Like, oh
yeah,
my God,
I had a really clear
amazing.
Vision of us together like a kind of Amish family, yeah. facing the camera. And yeah. you know, and there he was, and I was blubbing in the video, and the crew were blubbing.
You're gorgeous.
And the only person who's not is him.
I know, he's so strong.
He's looking at us all going, you know, what's wrong with you? I'm still here. but I'm really thrilled about, because you know, I've caught him on film.
Yeah,
I've got
right.
him on, and you know, no matter how long he might be on this planet, hopefully for many years to come, I've got him on film, and he'll last and live like that forever.
But not only that, am I right in, I've read some things that this video actually helped people come forward. He's got kidney disease, isn't he? Isn't this helped him find a donor?
Actually, we do have a potential match of a donor who came just before I put the song out. So, that was from the kindness of someone's heart. What has been remarkable by putting this song out is how many people have then volunteered a kidney.
Amazing.
And, you know, it is mind-blowing.
And indirectly shining a light on that disease as well, and people what people
who
go through.
And people who are just so altruistic, they say, look, I don't need to, and they're actually out there looking for people
gorgeous.
That they can help out. And you know what, our world is quite a negative one if you look at the news.
Of course.
Yeah. And yet, through this song, through what I'm fortunate to do as a musician, I've just seen the nicest parts of humanity instead.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, from going to that stage, I mean, 23 million albums was what Back to Bedlam actually sold. Going from that, and you've done, this is your sixth studio album.
Yep.
What is the fundamental difference between, because I read this thing and said, oh, that was the album of innocence, and this is the one of experience. What do you actually feel that is the fundamental difference?
Of this album?
Yeah. From that one which had like 23 million sales and...
Oh, yeah, totally. Well, the first one I very much was writing in a selfish way of working out my place in the world. I was a young man, just stepped out of the army, trying to figure out what life was and what my role in life was. This song is about things that are far more important, and that's the people around me and the people I love. These are songs, as I say, for my father, songs for my children, and songs for my wife. So rather than the selfish album, it's about those very, very important people who I foolishly leave behind when I go out on tour.
Can I talk quickly about your videos? One in particular, I loved You're Beautiful. I just thought that was so tragic and very heavy, and again, you just kill us all. But then now, having seen Cold of this latest album, and it's like 15 years later, like you're in the water and it's in reverse.
Yeah.
And it's quite upbeat.
Yeah.
Like, it's a really beautiful... I love that.
Yeah.
Who came up with the concept of that? For anyone, go... You need to see Cold.
You need to have a look at it.
Yeah, it was cool. The video director came up with the idea that we would carry on from You're Beautiful, where we left off 15 years
later. The only difference is your hair's a different length.
Yeah,
that's it.
Exactly.
You've had a haircut under the water.
Totally. And the idea is, you know, because this album in many ways is a sequel to that first.
It is
written in that very open and honest way. And so how to match that? Well, you know what?
I
wrote that album 15 years ago. I put out the video for Your Beautiful. I threw myself in the water and I've been lost at sea making music ever since in the part of the music business. But now I found my way back to shore. It all made sense. And they said, Ian, we'll get you in similar clothes. And I said, stop there. No need. I've got the same clothes.
Actually, the only thing that's changed is your hair, isn't it?
Yeah. And literally, weirdly, I've kept the clothes from Your Beautiful. I've kept them in my cupboard. They're on the left-hand side. I see them almost every single day at home
when I put them on.
I can't put those on. That'd be a bit weird. So that I'm just being, hey, I'll put something else on over here on the right. And you know, so it was great to put them on, and I had to suck in a bit to make them fit.
No, you
I don't think
don't.
You did.
It's fit as a fiddle. Now, listen, the other thing too is when all this was taking place way back in the piece, and this, you know, 23 million album sales, there wasn't the social media that we had now. How are you finding, as an artist, how are you finding the difference?
Well, I struggled slightly when I first put out that album because, you know, people were then, you get criticism and critiqued in different ways, and you have no voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't respond.
So now you actually can.
Well, now you like Twitter.
And now I can. Yeah. Someone can say, you know, something rude about it. They can say, you know, let's take a moment to remember how crap James Blunt was. And I can say, no need. I've got a new album coming out next week.
Yeah, you're quite well known for your clapbacks on Twitter.
And I really enjoy that. You know, so for me, I've enjoyed having that voice. As to whether social media is a good thing, I'm not sure, because people are generally quite unkind to each other.
Yeah. How did you find that? Like, when people were unkind on social media, and you know, it doesn't just come in one or two, it comes in droves.
Do you know what? I think in reality, it doesn't come in droves. Yeah. It's just human nature to recognise that. And so if you put an album out, or you guys do your job, and you look through online and you see all the comments, there'd be maybe, 100 positive to every 2 negative. Yeah. But it's the 2 you focus on.
Yeah, yeah.
And the 2 that will bug you when you go to bed.
Yeah.
And so what I actually do on Twitter really is laugh. Laugh primarily at myself for focusing on that 1 or 2 negative comments, because I'm playing concerts to thousands of people and they made an effort. Yeah. They paid good money and they booked hotels and they queued in the rain and they've sung these songs in these places, and yet why am I focusing on these 2 guys, writing their songs? They're probably upstairs, lonely people upstairs in their bedrooms, probably with their trousers around their ankles, writing something negative about me. Let's laugh at oneself for worrying about it.
Yeah,
I think it's a very good way to be.
Adam and I were on the way in here, we were laughing because I was looking through your stuff, and you were even at school, you're a high achiever, eight grade student.
You're reading on Wikipedia page, which I've changed.
Change editing it.
The best one I changed on Wikipedia was actually because I was being asked a lot about royal weddings at the time, and I was asked if I was having a role in Prince William Kate's wedding, so I changed my Wikipedia page to say that I'd played as the organ player, the church organ. I changed it to say, I'm fully trained classical organ player, and I'm still asked around the world, how was it to play? That was all right.
So funny. You're doing a little promo tour now, but at the end of the year, in the whole of November, you are going to literally take over Australia. You're playing all over the place.
I am on tour throughout Australia, which I can't wait for. And I'm touring the world before that. Start in February, but all of it's a practice for the big show.
Yeah,
the most important shows in Australia,
of course,
in November.
Because you spent quite a bit of time here when you did X Factor.
Exactly.
Was that 3 months? How long did
three
you?
3 months, and I mean, I lived in Sydney for the majority of that time, and on Bondi Beach. It was absolutely fantastic to be there. And you guys are incredibly warm and welcoming, and I loved living out here.
Yeah.
And I'm coming to say I'm coming back on tour, and I'm touring with Jason Mraz.
Wow.
Which we really, really, and I'm amazed he's signed up to come with me, but I'm thrilled because he's a fantastic musician.
Yeah,
that'll be awesome. Now, can we just quickly talk to you about 5 Miles, which is the song that we're now playing on Joy?
Yes,
great. You've made it big time now.
Thank you so much.
You've made it. That's it. You can relax now.
My career is done. I've reached the pinnacle.
It is the pinnacle. But I want to talk to you because 5 Miles, so there's a little blurb here, and it was talking about how You're Beautiful was about you stalking someone, or you're on the trains or the tube 15 years ago. But now you don't need to, because this one's just about you've got a fast car and
you. Once upon a time, as I say, I was, on the underground stalking someone else's girlfriend. And so for this song I wrote about now, 15 years later, what would I do? Well, I'm not on the underground anymore. I've got myself a flash car. How would I pull someone? I wouldn't say, hey, you're beautiful. I'd just try the line, hey, baby, I've got a fast car outside. See if that works. I'm really that deep.
Yeah. No. So that's the bit I love. It's like can be so deep and then... shallow as that.
Yeah.
Well, James, we're going to play the 5 Miles now, which is an awesome track. Thank you so much for your time coming
in. Thank you for having me.
The dates, the whole of November is chock-a-block full of James Blunt all around the country. The one in Melbourne is Rochford Wines on the 15th of November, and Margaret Court, which is a great venue, on the 18th of November. We'll put all the other dates on our social media and Joy pages and whatever if you want to get in contact. Where do they buy tickets?
JamesBlunt.com.
JamesBlunt.com. And at Day on the Green, I think you can source them there as well. James, thank you so much for coming
in
today.
Thank you. I really hope you'll come to the show, guys.
Absolutely.
So if you do, let's have a drink there.
And make sure you check out the new album too, because it is Once Upon a Mine. It is
it's beautiful.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. Thank
it's
you
really,
so much.
Really, good.
Murphy's Law. One listen and you'll feel so much better about your own siblings.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.